My parents grew up in the Depression. Salt of the earth people. Good, decent, hardworking. Just good people. My mother's parents settled in 1909 in southeastern Minnesota when they came from Norway. Had 13 children. Lost their farm during the Depression. Farmed out their kids. They have enough money to eat. And they just had hard times. And they raised us children to just take life as it comes. And when the gospel came into my life, that was the best deal I ever heard of. And I was only 5 years old in a small church in Stuartville, Minnesota, up in Lutheran country. A man named Dan Leeds had a Bible club in the summer of 1967. And 5 miles in the country, someone knocked on my door. And they said, how would you like to ride a bus? And I said, to get out of this house, I'd be very glad to go anywhere. With 6 older sisters, I'm game. Let's go. And I never rode a bus before. We walked 2.5 miles to school. Uphill both ways, right? I really did. It happened. In the snowbank. It's true. I know you don't believe me, but we had a hard time growing up. I went to that church. I heard the gospel, and I said, I have never heard a better deal in all my life. Nothing better than the gospel. It is a good deal. I mean, for crying out loud, if you're going to hell on this way out, that's a good deal. My favorite Baptist price is free, and that's what it was. So I'm very happy to be saved. 41 years, the Lord hasn't let me down. And those of you older folks who've been saved many years can say the same. And you young people coming up, if you're questioning whether this is the kind of life for you, I want to say something to you. The world will rip you off. It'll leave you hanging. And as much glitter and glamour as there's out there, I promise you, it'll leave you hanging every time. And just take it from an old man, I guess. This world's a whole lot better with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Turn to Psalm 141. I appreciate your pastor giving me an opportunity to stand up and take his place as your preacher. It's not a light thing for a man of God to give his pulpit up. There's a whole lot of things to say to people you love. When you give that up to someone else, that says a lot about your preacher. I know he's got something to tell you. Psalm 141. I was reading one morning, just reading several chapters of the Bible, and this one, you know how sometimes they just stick out at you? They just jump out at you. Maybe you've got a certain need, maybe you've got some burdens, and when they never stuck out at you before or never spoke to you, this one did one morning. And I just feel like the Lord had me give it to you. The Bible says in Psalm 141, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be a child of God and to have clear access and easy access to the throne of grace. And there's never a line there, and nobody ever pushes you away there. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your goodness and mercy all these years. Bless these people tonight, Lord, as they've taken time out of their schedules to come and give the time that you deserve. I pray you bless your word as we preach it. Amen. I've been a Christian 41 years, as I said. And I can't say I'm a good one, but I can say I am one. And you're never going to you'll never arrive this side of heaven. But I will say it's a privilege and honor to be a Christian. And I've been around long enough to know that life can throw all kinds of curveballs at you. And there's many people in this room. There have been curveballs and sliders and forkballs and spitballs thrown at you in life. And I was blessed to have several different pitches come my way while I was growing up. Now, you know that it's a blessing to have tribulation in your life. It's a blessing. Because we get an awful big head and think we're somebody if God didn't put some trials in our life, wouldn't we? And if life is one big bed of roses, I wonder if you're saved. You know, for crying out loud, God is going to let us grow, and you grow through trials and tribulations. I tell my children, I have six of them. Pray for me. I've got five teenagers in my house. But there is a blessing in that. There's a good side. If there's ever any trouble or problems, I've got all the answers. Just ask them. I got the answers to everything in life. Hey, you're not getting out of this life alive anyway. You might as well enjoy it with your teenagers. My goodness. I say, you know, if life is rough while you're growing up, it won't hit you so hard when you get older. You know, if you've got trouble, hey, can one get better? I dealt with an alcoholic father. I had six older sisters, and everybody says God's fair. That's probably what I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven. Brother, I tell you what. I'd rather go deer hunting than play house, I promise you. Trust me. I tell you one thing else. A wife and six kids is not the cover for an alternate lifestyle, trust me. I'm an old-fashioned American man. One of these, I guess I call them feminazis, I shouldn't. I used to work a secular job, and a woman who was slightly misled in life said, "You're just a male chauvinist pig." I said, "Ma'am, I got three words for you. Oink, oink, oink." I shouldn't have said that behind the sake of death. Oink, oink, oink. All right. We had an outhouse, but it was a two-seater. We were uptown. No running water. We had a pump. I could pump this way. I lived with the shame of poverty. People laughed at me when I went to school. My peers mocked me. There were unfair prejudices as I was growing up. I dealt with mistreatment and accusations by brothers and sisters, things that were never true, and I never did it, but they always said I did. And I've grown up and proved them wrong. When you're number nine in the family, there's not a whole lot of options. Yeah, I did it. Mom just thanked me. I did it. They're going to say I did it. You know, we've all had our mistreatments in life. We've all been unfairly tried. Some of us have baggage we still deal with into our 40s and 50s and 60s, and some people just never deal with the baggage of the past. They feel so ripped off by God. They feel so ripped off by life that they just can't deal with it. And tonight I want to preach a message. I don't know, I've got several titles, I guess. One is, What to Do When Life Doesn't Treat You Fair. Or, When Life Is Not Fair, or When Things Don't Go Your Way. Or, How to Handle Life. You know, life's going to come at you whether you like it or not. We're here. We're all stuck in this ball floating around in space. There's nothing we can do about it. We've got to deal with it. And if you deal with it with a good attitude, you're going to have to find a way to have a procedure to get to that good attitude. And so, you know, either you're happy or you're not. And I just thought I was going to be happy. And that's just all there is to it. You know, it's like the fellow that says, look, why should you worry in life? Might as well be happy. You're either sick or you're well. If you're either well or you're sick. If you're well, you have nothing to worry about. If you're sick, you live or die. If you live, you have nothing to worry about. If you die, you go to heaven or hell. If you go to heaven, you have nothing to worry about. If you go to hell, you'll be so busy shaking hands with all your friends, you won't have time to worry. So why worry? Now, I don't think that's very scriptural. I know it's not scriptural. You won't be shaking hands with your friends in hell. And there will be no fun in hell. Because hell is an absence of God, plus all the other things the Bible says about it. But you know, there's no sense in worrying. For crying out loud, God knows what he's doing. And if you don't trust him, you might as well. So I'm going to give you a few things about how to handle life. From this recipe, I call it, in Psalm 141. God is a God of procedure and recipes. He's always got the answers. And when you don't know what to do in life, the answer's right here. And if you can't find it, talk to your pastor. He might have found it for now. If he doesn't know it, talk to your pastor emeritus. I'm certain he found it. For crying out loud, you live a few thousand years on this earth. Probably in the 70s. You live that long on this earth and you're still serving the Lord. By the end, you've got some answers. And you know, nothing wrong with chewing up your pride a little bit and going to someone who knows what he's doing. That's what a pastor's all about. Our past gives us opportunity to demonstrate that we appreciate the significance of the cross in our lives. And our trials and troubles and the unfair things in life give us an opportunity to demonstrate that we appreciate what Christ did for us. You see, if I have trouble and trial and things don't go my way and people mistreat me, that's just an indication that God's reminding me that he got mistreated for my sake. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid a whole lot of price for me. And when people mistreat me, I promise you, they didn't do as badly to you as you did for Jesus Christ. And the things that come up in our life, God brings them our way for us to demonstrate that we understand what the cross is all about. See, folks, it's not about us, it's about Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know how insulated you are here in this church as far as the bickerings and fighting and squabblings and ecclesiastical battles among religious people, so to speak. But you know, the bottom line is, let's quit fighting each other and just talk to God. You know, I don't believe everything that man preaches. That makes you a big man to not agree with someone that Let me start over. Getting a merged wick and a tame tongue, you can't get my tongue wrapped on my eye, you can't see what I'm saying. It's not about whether you agree with someone else, it's about whether you trust in Jesus Christ and agree with what he's doing in your life. You know, when we cannot let go of the past, we demonstrate our lack of understanding of what Christ did for us on the cross. Or let's put it this way, none of us can point to any one of the rest of us and say, you did worse to me than I did to Jesus. God simply wants to see if what you say you are is true. A Christian. Are we Christians? That's acts like Christ. Psalm 141, David gives us this recipe. What do you do when life is not fair? Let me give you several things. I think I can finish here pretty quickly. Number one, let's look at Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, let's stop right there. That's the first place you ought to go. Amen. When you've got trouble. Amen. That's a good thing to do. The Lord is the answer to every problem you have. You go straight to God. No matter what problem comes your way, the first thing you do is go to God. You know, when you get sick, you ask the preacher, you're going to anoint someone with oil and pray over that person. But I promise you, we went to God first over that. And you go to the preacher, but you go to God first. And you have trouble. You know, the answer is to be humble. It's a humility issue. Are you big enough? A big enough person to admit that you're not all that. But he is. I overheard Tom Williams say to someone one time, the person said, Mr. Williams, don't you ever get bitter at God for killing your first wife and crippling your second wife? And Tom Williams said, son, if God crippled me and put me in a corner the rest of my life, that'd be his business. He's right. And let's all be reminded that anything other than hell is a bonus. So if you're dealing with issues that you don't like, it's not fair. I was mistreated as a child. The bottom line is God knows what's happened. You need to deal with it. Go straight to him. So the first thing you do in the recipe to understanding the problems in your life and the struggles and the mistreatments is you go to God first. Number two, let me say this to you. Look at verse 1 again. At the end of that verse, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Number two, you make your plea. Your pastor said he's been preaching on prayer this year. Well, this has a lot to do with that. You go to God and make your plea. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, you have a God you can go straight to. You don't need some priest on this earth to go to God for you. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We are Baptist people. We are biblical people. We're biblicists. I'm a biblicist before I was a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. But everything we believe is centered in this book right here. It has to be scriptural. And it is scriptural to go to God with your problems. He will listen to you. And you can make your plea unto Him. If you feel like life's not fair, God's big enough to hear you gripe. I can't tell you how many times I went to God and said, it is not fair to have six older sisters. Trust me. I've climbed many a tree getting away from those sisters. And I certainly don't want to play house. And I certainly have spent a lot of time alone in the woods with God. And a lot of times I don't like it with things, though. When things happen, I don't like. And God's big enough to listen to you. As long as the final issue is, Lord, let me gripe, but you can still have your way in my life. So bring your issues to Him. Number three. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Ask God to hear your prayer. Problems in life are your golden opportunities to get to know God in your life. When I have a problem, it is an opportunity, a golden opportunity to get to know God better. I am so wicked and so vile that I wouldn't get to know God if I didn't have trouble. I'm just being honest with you. That's one reason I don't have a TV. I'd watch it. I'm just being honest with you. It's wrong to have a TV? No. It's wrong to watch too much of it. It's wrong to watch the wrong things. And there's so many wrong things I don't want to put it before me. But I'm honest with you. I wouldn't go to God if I didn't have trouble. And a lot of us are that same way. But you know, God says here to ask Him to honor your prayer. You know, it's not wrong for you to say, Lord, I wish You'd answer my prayers. I really would like You to hear me. And He listens to you. Number four. Look at verse 3. And I'm hurrying here. I got 10 things I want to give you. Several statements. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. You know, when I have things that don't go right in my life, number four, I beg God not to let me say anything stupid. Lord, don't let me say anything stupid. Preacher, how many times have people come to you angry and say, I'm quitting church? I don't like what happened. That is not the time to quit church. That is not the time to say stupid things. It's not time to say to your spouse, I just never have liked the way you... Well, that really fixes stuff, doesn't it? You know, I always say, I'm not going to criticize my wife's faults. And maybe for those very defects, she didn't get a better man than she did. Hey, I thank God when my wife makes a mistake. It just gives me extra points when I make one. You know, we're all going to make them. We all do stupid things. But you know, when you get ripped off in life and things don't go your way and you feel like God's not fair, the world's not fair, people mistreat you, ask God, you know, Lord, don't say anything that would besmirch or mar my testimony. Your tongue is the spokesman for your heart. Whatever's inside your heart is going to come out in your tongue. And you watch that tongue. James chapter 3 talks about that. Someone said, when you're angry, count to 10 before you speak. If you're very angry, count to 100. If you're extremely angry, don't stop counting. We've all been there, haven't we? So we go straight to God. We make our plea. We ask Him to honor our prayer. We don't say anything that would besmirch a testimony or hurt us. Watch our mouth. Look at number 5. Look at verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works. Number 5 is guard your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, I'm not such a great Christian. My heart can't lead me astray if I don't stay close to this book. How many have seen in your Bibles before, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book? It is so true. Stay close to God. Go to Him. Talk to Him. Tell Him all your problems. Tell Him what things aren't right in your life that you think aren't fair. And say, God, don't let me not only say anything stupid, but don't let me do anything stupid. I don't want to do anything dumb when I'm down. A great man said, when you're down in the valley, don't make a big decision. When you feel like everything's going wrong and things aren't right, that's not the time to quit church. It's not the time to decide, I'm just going to get a divorce. That's not even a word that would be in your vocabulary. God's never going to divorce me. Your marriage is on earth a symbol of the relationship you ought to have with God. And since He'll never give me up, I should never give up my spouse either. And we do at times. And I'm not against anyone that has. I'm just saying. It is a symbol that God has given us, a man and wife relationship, the same we ought to have with our God. And since He'll never give us up, we should never give up our spouse. It's not time to think about that when you're having trouble. Don't do anything stupid. And the way you keep from doing stupid things is to put them off. Put off the old man. If I'm going to do something that I shouldn't do, I'm going to be a good procrastinator. I'll do it tomorrow. Brother, your pastor and I always have a saying. We call on the phone, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. Well, I haven't yet, and I probably put that off till tomorrow, and it probably will never happen. But I felt like it at times. Very few. But you put it off. And don't do anything stupid. Joseph was accused and imprisoned and lost 13 years of his life. And when he got accused of immorality and went to prison for it, and then got forgotten in the prison for 2 more years, he didn't say anything stupid, and he didn't do anything stupid. And look where he ended up. Jephthah was banished from his country simply because he was the son of a harlot, lived in the city of Tob for many years until they called him to be the leader of their army. He didn't do anything stupid. You know, a lot of times when you're going through a time in your life, maybe it's a bad month, a bad year. Some people have bad decades. But if during those times you can continue to walk with God, sometimes you need a 40 years in the desert to become a Moses. Sometimes you need 3 years in Arabia to become the Apostle Paul. Sometimes you need 7 years of eating grass like Nebuchadnezzar did before you got enough sense to know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and He giveth it to whomsoever He will. And sometimes you need some of those lean times to prove to you that you're not all that. And we're not. So when things don't go my way, I just run off and get drunk. Oh, that'll fix the problem, won't it? You know, sometimes God puts you in those situations to see what you will do. See if He can trust you. Many a young man has given up the opportunity to preach because when he was in a downtime, he did something stupid. You know what? God's still on the throne whether things are going your way or not. And we all remember that. I didn't stay in this thing 41 years because I did something stupid when it didn't go my way. And praise the Lord for all of that. Praise the Lord, He's kept me. Number 6. Look at verse 5. Let the righteous smite me. Make provision for your preacher and authorities to hurt you with the truth. Did you ever sit there and the preacher ripped your face off because you didn't like what he was saying? Make provision for that. See, when you're down or when you feel like you've been mistreated in life, let your preacher have veto power in your life. People who won't face the truth cannot be trusted with growth. Brother Jerry, how many young people who could not take the truth stop right there? Never amount to anything. Because they can't be corrected. And they won't listen to the truth. And when I just don't feel like people are fair to me, well, God was very fair at the cross. Matter of fact, He was unfair to Himself. Young man got expelled from college one time, our college, and a preacher called him and said, what happened? He said, well, they gave me demerits I didn't deserve. All right, I think we can take care of that. Really? Yeah, I'll get them all taken off under one condition. We'll give you demerits for all the things you didn't get caught for. I just don't like the way God treated me. How about if he treats you according to the way you really are? See, if we all got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell, wouldn't we? And so when we feel like we've been mistreated in life, the truth is we're the ones that are doing the mistreating. We mistreat God. And we don't thank him and praise him enough for what he has done. People who will not accept correction will not advance in life. Look at verse 5. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Number 7, pray for your leaders. You need them to be wise enough to lead you to do right. See, this recipe says this. When I'm not feeling like life is fair, things haven't gone my way, we need to pray especially for our leadership, because God puts leadership in our life to help us reach our potential. And we cannot reach our potential if we don't have the leadership leading us to that potential. So we pray for our leaders. Why do I pray for my pastor? You need your pastor. God's man gets God's wisdom for God's people. That doesn't mean he's closer to God than anyone. It just means that God uses him and gives him wisdom for your life. Pray for your leaders. Young people ought to pray for their mom and dad. Well, my mom and dad don't know much. They got you here, didn't they? They know enough to feed your ungrateful face. They know enough to put up with your nonsense. Someone said that by the time a teenage boy realizes how smart his father is, he's got a teenage boy that thinks he's stupid. Amen. Boy, can I identify with that one? I represent that statement. Yeah. You might have enough discernment and sense to realize that when you get to be a parent, you might think like your parents think. I mean, bottom line is, you're going where they are. Don't criticize them. You're next. Just like that fellow says, don't laugh. You're next. Yeah. Pray for your leaders. You need them. See, well, he said something I didn't like. Well, God says a whole lot of things you don't like, but if you'd read his book, you'd figure that out. Number 8. Look at verse 8. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord, and thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Be big enough to live above life circumstances. Be big enough to live above life circumstances. The smallest package in the world is a man all wrapped up in himself. Oh, it's all about me. Really? I think Job said this to his three friends. You are the people, and wisdom will die with you. I guess it went over your head. You get that by slow freight tomorrow. You guys are so smart. All the wisdom in the world is wrapped up in you. You got all the answers, don't you? And yet here we all sit, not knowing what's going on here. Here I am still in the ash heap, and there you are saying stupid, pious platitudes. Pontiferous platitudes, ponderosity, and nonsense. Those are big words. You learn those at the $100,000 word club. Remember, you promulgate your esoteric cogitations. Pardon me, I taught English for a long time, and it's a whole bunch of nonsense at times. Now down, I ain't no English teacher here, so down where real people live, y'all just be careful what you say, okay? Be big enough to live above life circumstances. Mine eyes are unto thee. See, if you live above the clouds, you don't have to mess around with all the nonsense below. Look what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. Living below the sun. When you live, that's where the Oprah show comes in. Nobody cares about her opinion or your opinion. We're the matter of God's opinion. Why do I want to sit around looking at everybody's problems and gripe when we ought to be praising God? We're not going to hell. Maybe they are going to hell. Maybe that's where they're griping. So, be big enough to live above life circumstances. The big picture is the big deal in life. And the big picture is what God wants. And he knows what he's doing. Look at verse 9. And I'm almost done here. God's got a lot of good recipes in life. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Look at verse 8. My eyes unto thee, O God, Lord. There is In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Let me say, number 9. Beg for God's divine protection in your life so that you can accomplish His will. The world, the flesh, and the devil are after all of us. We need for God's protection to keep us from all of that. You got to beg for God's protection in your life. And that's why I'll walk with Him. Because when you walk with God, it gives you His view in life. You can live above the clouds and live above your circumstances and live above all those people that will drag you down. The purpose of Christianity is to give God glory. You can't give God glory if you're thinking about you or griping about other people or your problems. Beg for God's divine protection in your life so that you can accomplish His will. In verse 10, let the wicked fall into their own nets whilst I will escape. Ask God to deliver you from people who have no intent in His will for their lives. You know, I was in college. Brother Jerry and I were in the bus ministry together. And yes, even in a Christian college, there are young people who don't care about being there. And they have no interest in God's will for their life. And you have to, as a young person, especially young folks, you got to realize that your purpose and your plan in this life is to do God's will. You got to stay away from those people that aren't serious about it. We live in a generation of very unsober people. We got Wii and Nintendo and what are the new ones? PS2 and a whole bunch of diversions in life, but very little thinking in life. We're raising a generation of mindless people who don't know how to think. And you know, whereas when I was growing up, if there was a problem, you had to fix it. It wasn't fixed for you. You had to find a way to fix it. You had to think and have an imagination. And you know, God wants to deliver you from people who would keep you from doing His will. And you want to ask God, Lord, deliver me from people. Don't mean business in life. You know, when I was with Brother Jerry in the bus ministry, we stayed away from the guys that were deadbeats. God bless them. They can do whatever they want, but I'm going to serve God with my life. Amen. I don't care if you want to live like the devil, that's your business. It's not your right if you're a Christian. It's your prerogative. If you want to live like the devil, it's your business. But I want to be around. I want to do God's will. I want God to use me. And when you go through these griefs and troubles and trials in life, you go to God. You make your plea. You pray to Him. Ask Him to hear your prayer. Don't say anything that would stop your testimony from being sterling. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. Guard your heart. Let your preacher have veto power in your life. Pray for your leaders. You need them. Be big enough to live above the circumstances and think about God's plan instead of your own plans. Beg for God's divine protection and stay away from people. Be delivered from people who don't mean business for God. Well, this world, you know, they make fun of me. They make fun of Jesus. You're in pretty good company. Well, you're just so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, if I see Bambi tomorrow, she'll be dead. I hope I find her husband. There's a whole lot of fun you can have on this earth without being accused of being a religious holy roller. I enjoy eating food. Good stuff. I enjoy doing fun things. But the funnest thing in life is to do God's will. I feel sorry for people that are so hooked on TV they can't live without it. Gotta watch this. Let me out by 8 o'clock. I gotta go home and watch TV. Don't shoot. Let me out. You know, it's a whole lot of fun. Is doing God's will. You know, I've had some mistreatments in life. Things haven't gone my way. There are those who've been physically harmed in life. They've been harmed mentally, emotionally, verbally. It's sad to say physically. But if that's been you, there's a whole lot more to life than that. Your baggage of your past can't ruin your future. It's not about where you've been in life, but where you're going. And Jesus Christ has a bright future for all of us. And I can't look at my past and say, it was not fair. I can look at my future and say, that's very fair. And every one of us has a bright future if we've got the right attitude about it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you that we can have joy and peace and happiness. And no matter what happens in our life, you are a great person to be company with in all of our troubles and trials. I pray we'd make decisions tonight that would last for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.